I think all of us would like to think of ourselves as the Good Samaritan in the classic tale. When you see someone in need on the side of the road, you would indeed stop to help them. But today, we're going to look at what psychology says about why we do or do not actually help people.
Yeah, and I think the Good Samaritan is exactly that. When we ask people about what would they do in certain situations, would they help if someone, you know, if they were driving and someone had a flat tire, if someone yelled out for help, would they assist? And almost everyone says yes. The challenge happens when we actually put them in those situations. And when you have studies like that, we find a good amount of folks won't help. And in particular, it seems to be when we're in a crowd or when others are around us, we're less likely to help.
Is it because we keep waiting around for someone else to step to the fore?
That's certainly a piece of it. And, you know, as psychologists, we like fancy terms. So we'd call that diffusion of responsibility, right? The idea that, you know, when we're alone and you know, we're more likely to assist because there's no one else to pass the buck on to. You know, and it's kind of backwards thinking. If I asked you, would you rather break down in the middle of town with cars all around or in the back of a country road at night? And you probably must always pick, I'd rather break down in town. There's lots of people there to help. But what we know is when we're around a crowd, we're far less likely to take action to help. And then there are a couple things going on with that. And one is when we're with the crowd, we learn how to behave based on what others are doing. We look to others to help us understand the situation. And when we see other people pass by without helping, we can start assuming maybe we don't need to help either. Right? So it's the idea here of pluralistic ignorance. Together, we all assume, well, if they're not helping, there must not really be a problem. There's not an emergency here. We go on with our day. So those two sort of forces work together. We look to others and assume others will help. And when we see them not helping, well, then we assume maybe there wasn't really a situation here at all that needed assistance.
So although there would be less traffic on a country road, statistically or psychologically, the chances are higher that someone would stop if they came across you there?
Well, there at least the research suggests they might, because then if you're driving on a back road and you're the only car there, and when you see someone broken down, there's no one else to pass the buck onto. It's you're going to help them or there could be no one else at all. Right, but when we're surrounded by others and hundreds of cars passing by, it's easier to assume others will help. And we see this when we do studies in waiting rooms where we set up experiments where we have folks wait. And when you're by yourself, folks are far more likely to help in situations like where, you know, smoke appears under the door or someone yells out. Whereas if there are a group of people waiting and then no one else does anything, folks are much less likely to help.
The fire in the crowd at theater is used for free speech. Is there something like that you use for whether or not you will or will not help someone?
Yeah, great question. And there are some well-publicized cases. And one was, unfortunately, a very brutal crime that was committed in New York in the 1970s. Someone, Kitty Genovese, was murdered and in an attack that lasted 20, 30 minutes and where there were many, many witnesses, most of which did not call. Now, there's some... The story sort of got told differently over time, and I'm not sure it's as clear as example as we used to think it was, but I think it really ignited public interest in why weren't people more likely to help? Here's someone screaming, there's clearly a crime being committed, someone's in distress. Why didn't folks do more to step in? And, you know, it turns out it's not that simple of a story either. It's not just about crowds or others. It also has a lot to do with time, because there was a really neat version of research that looked at this in priests. So it was at a seminary school, because if you think about who's most likely to help, we would assume folks training in, you know, religious tradition. And in fact, they had them read the parable of the Good Samaritan you mentioned. And then the way the study was set up is priests came in, they were told they were going to give a talk to some people who were interested in the priesthood, and they were going to give that story and tell them about the Good Samaritan. So they read it. And then they were told, well, they had to go to another building to give the speech, to talk to people. And on their way, as they were walking over there, they were going to encounter someone in need, someone who was part of the experiment but was homeless and asking for help. And, you know, the study was about, well, whether they would stop and help.
And?
Well, it depends on how much time they had, right? They either told the folks in training to be to join the priesthood that they were already late and they had to get over there as soon as possible to start the speech, or they told them they had plenty of time to get over there, it was going to start in half an hour, there's no worry. And it turns out when they were told they had plenty of time, pretty much every single one stopped and helped. But when they were in a rush and they were told they were already late, most walked right on by.
So it's one thing to say that you would help someone who was broken down on the side of the road if it was a Saturday afternoon and you were out for a scenic drive, but if you had 5 minutes to be at work, then maybe that calculus works differently?
I think so, and the importance of time or time pressure seems to really matter here. And I think it speaks again to the idea that, you know, in our busy world, it could be difficult for us to slow down and see folks who might be in need in front of us. So psychological skills like mindfulness or other ways of sort of slowing down and connecting to here and now in this moment what's happening might help us be on the lookout better for folks who really could need help. Because sometimes we kind of live in our minds about what's next and our to-do list and a constant rush from place to place that we might miss out on opportunities to be that good Samaritan, to reach out to people who might be in need, and to really kind of be the people I think we all say we want to be, someone who would help.